Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Many, many blessings to you and your loved ones on this fine Wednesday afternoon. It is 1 o'clock on May the 4th. The year is 2022, and we are here as a part of the Orisha Lifestyle Academy to focus on personal management for spiritual progress. This is our fifth conversation. And I've enjoyed all the exchanges up to this point. It has been very meaningful for me and very useful. And I really hope that this will be one of many along these lines. I accidentally find myself in this place, but it's something that I'm super excited about because I think it's going to be useful for the community. And over time, hopefully will, you know, enhance the practice overall, which is all about promoting and facilitating just straight ahead leadership amongst Orisha devotees. And that's kind of what's at the end of the tunnel, as far as I'm concerned. Let's do this. Let's see what we got going today. Our conversation today is all about routines. It's about setting a routine, keeping a routine, the importance of what we call ritualizing your life. Ritualizing your life. This is a concept that I learned in my years of the Black Gnostic Studies. I don't know if it's a national movement or global movement for that matter, but in LA, there was a place called the Aquarian Spiritual Center. It was run by Dr. Lagan. And Dr. Lagan was, man, Dr. Lagan was like, he had to have been in his late 80s. At the time that I was going to the Aquarian Spiritual Center. And he was part of this body of people who called the Black Gnostics. And what they did was they took essentially, you guys familiar with Stolen Legacy? Have you guys ever read the book Stolen Legacy by George G.M. James? So George G.M. James wrote a book called Stolen Legacy, where he basically is one of the original, what they would call African-centered thinkers. He's one of the original, like, where we talk about, everybody talks about Egypt or Kemet today. George G.M. James was one of the first to actually break it down and say how the Masonic orders and pretty much the Greco-Roman world is built upon the Egyptian system. That's why it's called Stolen Legacy. But based on that, there was a group of people called the Black Gnostics, and it was a lodge, basically. It was a mystery school. And what they did was attempt to teach these ancient mysteries in a modern setting. So it was a lot of studies. We did a lot of studies, and we studied everything. We studied everything, everything, everything. I'm talking about a little bit of Hinduism, a little bit of Islam, a little bit of Masonry, a little bit of, you know, Greek philosophy, like you name it. It was like all of these things were brought together in a very strategic way. It's kind of like a correspondence course, real comprehensive. But one of the features of this training was something that they call ritualizing your life. Ritualizing your life. Making your entire life a ceremony, basically. You know, a ceremony has multiple rituals, and the rituals are based on axioms, axiomatic truths. Like, you know, an axiom is something that is true beyond refute. It's something that, like a law. It's a law. Like a law of gravity. An axiom is like a law that cannot be disputed. And there are different kinds of axioms. There's philosophical axioms, there are mathematical axioms, there are logical axioms. And these axioms form the basis of mythology. And the mythology forms the basis of ceremonies and festivals, et cetera. And these festivals create the context for rituals. And so this basic idea of ritualizing your life is predicated upon the idea that you are an axiom. And Ifawi will say you have an odu. Your odu is the irrefutable truth of your existence, of your reality. It is who you are. It is what you embody. People may see it from a lot of different angles, and they may have different opinions and experiences of it, and that's fine, but you are what you are. And it is impossible to disprove that you exist as what you are. So there is an axiomatic dimension of your existence. And based on that axiom, based on what it is that you are and what you represent and what you embody, there are rituals. There are things that you ought to do that will optimize who you are, or it fully express your axiom, right? So we see this in all the high holy days of the religions, right? This is where people get all worked up and they start talking about when they first get turned out on the knowledge, and they'll be saying, Easter's not a real holiday. This is representing some sort of a cosmic thing. Christmas is not really a holiday. That it's really talking about a cosmic thing. This is about the rotation of the stars. And this holiday, you know what I mean? Like all of those, the summer solstice, the winter solstice, it's not an either or thing though. It's both, right? Because people do the little maypole dance and they do all these different things at different times of year just for the folklore. But the folklore, it happens at a specific time, and you wear specific clothes and you eat specific foods and you go to specific places. So whether you know it or not, you're in alignment with the axiom of that holiday. You're experiencing that holiday. It would be better if you had the full awareness to be able to really deliberately participate. But even if you don't, you're in the right place at the right time with the right clothes, with the right people doing the right thing. You're going to experience whatever it is that axiom represents. So that's the idea behind ritualizing your life. As it is true for Easter, Christmas, etc., it is true for you as well. There are rituals that punctuate and accentuate who you are and what you represent in the world. So that's the basis of what we're going to talk about today. Okay. But before I do that, let's give thanks to Olodumare Obaterere Kaye, the great king who spreads his mat infinitely in all directions. Let's give thanks to the Mother Earth, the sustainer and the nurturer, the witness of all human endeavors. Let us give thanks and praise to the rising sun. Let us give thanks to the setting sun. Let us give thanks to Olodumare for the 200 divinities who sit to his right, as well as the 200 divinities who sit to the left of Olodumare. Let us give thanks and reverence to the 401 divinities who shuttle back and forth between the seen and unseen realm. Let us give thanks to the great masters of the four corners of the world. Let us give thanks to the spirits of our ancestors, the spirits of our mothers, the spirit of our fathers. Let us pay homage to the youngest member of our respective kingdoms, as well as the eldest member of our respective kingdoms. And let us seek the blessings of life and creation so that we might be better equipped to help bring about the good condition for ourselves and for those who we are destined to serve. Ashe, ashe, ashe wa. So, this is our, what did I say? This is our fifth week. This is our fifth week. In the first part of the conversation, we talked about discovering and embracing your life's work, right? This is your calling. These are your natural gifts and talents and why you have them. You're gifted with these abilities for some reason and some purpose. What is it? In the second conversation, we talked about the necessity for you to form an ideal apprenticeship. This is essentially the Olympic model. The more talented you are, the more important apprenticeship becomes. The more capable you are, the more important it is that you find somebody to to work with, to follow, right? To adhere to show you the ropes. The more talented you are, the more importantly you need to apprentice. Okay. But apprenticeship is important for everybody. Even if you consider yourself zero talent, you still need to apprentice to figure out what to do with your no talent having self. How am I going to be all right with no talent? What am I going to do? Somebody can show you the way. Then there is really looking at, in third conversation, looking at your motivation, being honest with yourself about what you really and truly need to be excellent. Not just to be present, not just to cross your T's and dot your I's, but what is it that you really need in your environment that's going to make you reach a peak performance and make you maintain peak performance, not just peak under duress, but to keep that edge. What do you really need? That's crucial. You've got to integrate that element into your life on a regular basis so that you are always leaning into it. All right. I used to play a little the drums. It's like in the Okonkolo in the Afro-Cuban bata. There are three drums, right, that talk. And the smallest drum is the Okonkolo. And it plays the simplest pattern, but it's the timekeeper. And the Okonkolo's job is to push. It's to push. You can't rush the rhythm, but you gotta push it. The tempo, you're just a little tiny bit pushing the tempo. Every single stroke, you push it just a little bit, just a little bit, just a little bit, and that's what keeps the tempo of all the other drums on their toes. It keeps them right on the edge. It's not rushed, but it is pulling. It's making tension, right? That's what you need. You need to know what your Okonkolo is. What's going to be that timekeeper that won't allow you to slack, won't allow you to, you know what I mean, just start to relax. Very important. I say it because we as Americans are so uptight. I don't mean being uptight. I don't mean being high strung. I don't mean being like you gritting your teeth and you got your hands. I don't mean like that. I don't mean anxious. I don't mean nervous. I mean edgy. I mean leaning into it. I mean on your toes. I mean your pupils wide and your senses peaked. Like you're on the hunt. You gotta be right, ready to see whatever it is. If it's a squirrel or a rabbit or a bird, you're ready to spring and pull it out of the air, or climb the tree, or dig the hole, or dive in the river. Whatever it takes, when you see your target, you're ready to pounce. You got to know what it is that's going to activate that instinct in you and keep it pulsating. Okay? Don't fall asleep behind the wheel, basically. And then you got in the fourth week, we talked about, now you know what motivates you. You also need to know how people really are. This is what last week we talked about, you know, different, you know, motivation, skill versus loyalty and where they overlap and how you assign people to the proper place based on their attributes. Or at least these three attributes. People have got a lot more than those three attributes. But when it comes to just getting things done, you really want to know how much motivation is this person working with? How skillful is this person? How loyal is this person? And I can't just cut you off because you're not high on all three levels, right? I'm not going to just burn the bridge because you don't have all these skills that I need in one particular moment. I'm going to figure out how to relate to you in a way that it remains productive and synergetic, if that's a word, that promotes synergy between us. Right. So that was our conversation last week. Okay. Seeing people as they really are so that you can relate to people, so you can get along with people, so that you can collaborate with people and work with them. Okay. Very important. Very important. And today we're looking at making a routine and following it. All right, making a routine and following it. So the key to the routine is that ritual, in many ways, ritual is one of the most ancient human habits, right? You'll be really hard pressed. So for example, there are about 4,800 religions. Last time I checked, there was like 4,800 religions in the world. And there are about 5,200 languages in the world, right? So they're pretty close, pretty close. The number of religions there are and the number of languages there are pretty close. But what that says to me is that everybody has ritual. Human beings practice ritual. There's something about ritual that is endemic to the human experience. We need ritual. We need to participate in ritual. We need to ritualize our lives. Because ritual, we can think about it, right? Go back to your third grade self. Go back to your kindergarten self. If you've got children, think about how your children are. You need to create ritual for your children. Children need routine. The more routine you have, the easier it will be. They know when they walk in, you put your shoes right here, you hang your coat right there, you put this in your cubby, you sit here, she sits there. When we start the day, this is what we do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Ritual and routine are what create order and peace in the life of a human being. When you don't have ritual, when you don't put the child to bed at the same time, when you don't feed the child at the same time, when you don't let the child go out and play at the same time, then you start running into all kinds of behavioral problems. So a lot of times, children are acting up because the structure isn't in place to support them doing otherwise. They don't know better. This is something you see, you know, I'm from California, but I live here in Georgia, and I see the significance of design in the roads here. Similar kind of an idea. If you set up a design that's chaotic and messy, it's hard for people to be good drivers. It's hard for people to be skillful drivers because the road doesn't support following the rules. It promotes confusion. It promotes chaos. It promotes like nobody quite knows what to do. So everybody does whatever they think. Right? And that's how your life will be. If you don't ritualize your life, every day you come to this, you wake up, it's whatever time you wake up, you're in a state of confusion because you haven't set a routine for yourself. So you start the day off and you just do whatever's in front of you. And you just keep doing whatever's in front of you till you go to bed. And then the next day, you just kind of wake up and do it again and do it again and do it again. But you're in a state of chaos. You may have gotten used to being in a state of chaos, but you are in a state of chaos nonetheless. You need structure in your day, right? You need structure. Just like a little child needs structure. You're the same person today that you were when you were 4 years old and you were sitting in preschool on the rug with Ms. Jenkins. You need to know where you sit. You need to know when snack time is. You need to know where your cubby is. You need to know where to hang your coat. You need to know where you can go to play on the playground. You need to know when playtime is. You need to know when lunchtime is. This is crucial. Your life is going to be so much better when you put those things in place. Okay, things happen, you know, the structure will shift, but you at least need to have a point of reference that says this is what is supposed to happen. in order to create stability in your life and minimize this state of like, I'm not quite sure what to do. I'm not quite sure which way to turn. I'm not quite sure how, right? I don't know if I'm in the beginning of a process or the end of a process. So is this all falling apart, or is this just what it looks like it's in the beginning stages? I don't know, because I'm doing something different every single day. Okay. So this is something that will make you or break you. So you imagine, again, our basic premise here is that you as an Orisha devotee, you're making your prayers, you're participating in your divination, you're making your sacrifices, you're keeping your taboos. If you got some kind of medicines, what you're using it. So all that being the case, you're going to get blessed. You're going to get blessed. Right? So when you get blessed, what are you going to do? Your life is not going to be the same. Before you had $1, now you got $100. That's different. Before you had a little house, now you got a big, first you were renting, now you own. First you didn't have a car, now you have a car. First you were single, now you got a partner. Right? You were struggling with some legal problem and now it's been resolved. So as that bounty comes in, you got to have something to do with it. Just like if you go to the grocery store, you got to have somewhere to put your groceries, right? You got to have somewhere to put the eggs. You got to have somewhere to put the bread, the seasoning, the detergent, whatever you buy. It's got to have a place to go that creates order. All these things are rituals. These are all things that help create order in your life and enable you to take advantage of the bounty. You just went and bought some choice meat and lobster, and you don't have a refrigerator. It's going to spoil. You got to have somewhere to put it. You don't have a stove. You can't cook it. Right? So these are just simple illustrations for us to recognize this is a non-negotiable, folks. When you do what you're supposed to do as a devotee, you're going to get blessed. And when you get blessed, you've got to have places to put your blessings. You got to have places to funnel these blessings. That's what your rituals are helping you do. Your rituals are helping you disseminate those blessings and place those blessings like groceries or like anything that you've acquired. The ritual and the routine is ordering the energy that comes to you through your blessings. Okay. So this is one of the key lessons that we learn through Ifa in particular. Okay. Ifa places a very high emphasis on your routine. So you've got your daily ritual. Okay, these are daily prayers that you might make. Every day you wake up at a certain time. Okay. When you wake up at a certain time, then you're preparing yourself to do certain things. You make your prayers, maybe you bathe, you eat, you plan your day, right? Let me show you something. I just thought about something. Let's see. Let me see. Yup. This is old. This is when I was a Gnostic. And I should have a better version of this. I know I have a better version of this. Well, maybe I don't. This doesn't look very pretty. Oh, wow. All my stuff is in here. Fantastic. All right. So this is an old notebook. Old notebook. Like, this is like almost 30 years old, this notebook. But when I first made my daily schedule, I visualized it this way. Right? So this symbol, as you can see here, Or like so. This is what we call Igbo. Igbo. Igbo means knot. It's a knot of eternity. It represents longevity. It represents eternity. It represents the unbroken cycle. Right? So I use this, and this also is a symbol for, you know, a square within a square. Okay, a square within a square is how we balance different kinds of elements. This is another lesson altogether. The Hindus call it the Pundit square. They use it for divination. If you ever get a Hindu astrology done, they'll use a Pundit square. And they'll put all the different stars and all that kind of stuff in different segments. But we see it in the Garden of Command, something like this. You know, there's all these different things. But the only thing I want to emphasize here is that this very crude map is how I structured my day back in those times. So here is where we start. You wake up. So here, this is when I was starting my 4:30, 5 a.m. awakening. Okay, I did that for years and years and years. I don't do it anymore. I ain't gonna lie. It's been like since I moved to Georgia, I don't wake up at 4 a.m. anymore. But up till very recently, I was a 4:30 a.m. guy. Then second is bathe. Right? Now the bathing is important within the confines of Ifa, because what we're also, as an Orisha practitioner, what we're going to assume is when you bathe, you're using your medicinal soap. So you got every day you're directing your prayers in a specific way. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, etc. They're different soap, different prayers. Well, so when I'm bathing, I've already started my prayer and ritual sequence. Then I plan. This is where I sit down and I scope out the day. I scope out the week. This is what's supposed to happen. This is what's on my radar. I need to do this. I need to do that. Now, this is really something I learned from my mother. My mother told me she was like a 4 or 5 a.m. person, too. She would tell me, you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, you'll get done more between 4 and 9 than most people get done all day long. And so I started this. I started watching her do this. Right. And she told me the story. But then as I started becoming a practitioner, it was something that I found in various traditions as well. Plan. You got to plan your week. You got to plan your day at the very least. Make a to-do list. This is every day. Then breakfast. I'm not really big on breakfast, but it could just be something real light. Okay. After, so I have my breakfast. And then this is where I will go into my formal prayers. This is where I go before the shrine. Doesn't have to be elaborate. Could just be, you know, a handful of daily prayers. I go before Ifa. I go before Orisha. And I pray. Right? Then, why am I going backwards? Awaken, bathe, pray, eat, plan. So I got this backwards. I'm sorry. Awaken, bathe, pray, eat. Then I plan the day. Next is execution. This is just follow through. This is where you spend throughout the day. And then at the end of the day, review. So anybody who's ever gotten Efun from me, you will recognize this, because I prescribe this in a loose form for everybody who receives a certain kind of Efun, which is a medicine for Ordi. And at the end of the day, you review. You deconstruct your day. Right? This is why you hear me say, hey, we pay homage to the rising sun, where we get a chance to envision ourselves, to reinvent ourselves, to imagine what's possible. That's where the planning comes in, when we awaken in the morning. And then we give thanks to the closing of the day, the setting of the sun, because it represents a chance for us to review, a chance for us to evaluate, a chance for us to ask ourselves, did I do my best today? Did I reach deep enough? Did I extend myself far enough? Where did I meet the mark and where do I need to adjust? That's what I make note of before I go to bed. And then I go to sleep. And at this point, we would be doing something like dream incubation to say, how do I adjust and improve so that tomorrow can be better than today was? And all of those different points, those 8 points, happen more or less at the same time, right? They should happen about the same time. That's the daily routine, okay? Daily routine that will keep you in the right place at the right time. Within your daily routine, of course, there's always lots of little habits. If you've mastered the waking up time, then you do all the other little details. You make your bed, stuff like that, right? Keep getting more and more definitive or granular about your daily routine, okay? But have a routine. Don't freestyle. Do not freestyle, okay? You need a daily routine. That's going to help keep you on track. You may not have a plan, a full year-long plan, right? So for everybody who's in the temple and we did the top of the year and we cast Ifa and we look at, hey, let's make a plan. Everybody doesn't have that strength. I know everybody can't make a plan for the year. I know it. But you try, though. You try to set something out and you say, you know what? This is what I think I'd like to do. And then you get a month into it, you get 3 months into it, and you got to adjust. It's totally okay. This is exercising a muscle. Being able to plan that far out is exercise, is conditioning, is preparing yourself. But the daily routine, you can definitely do. You can definitely set a daily routine. It will keep you on track. Even if you've totally forgotten what you were supposed to be doing, if you wake up and you just look at the day and say, this is what I should do today, chances are you're going to get it done. You're going to accomplish that. Okay? Daily routine. Then there's your weekly routine. You set in place a something that you do on a weekly interval. Again, this is what we have for our, for example, if you have a 7-day calendar, you might adhere to the 7-day calendar, and every Monday you do a certain thing for wealth. Every Tuesday you do something specific for victory. On Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, right? You use the principles of the 7 days to set out your weekly plan. So you could use it as a prompt for your meals. You could use it as a prompt if you make candles or if you make medicines or something like that. You could use it as a prompt for that. Again, going back to preschool, you make it a prompt for what we're going to do in class today. Today, on these days, we make soup together. On this day, we make pizza together. On this day, we make, you know, we go to the library. On this day, we, right? That's your weekly routine. Every Monday, this is what we do. You need that. Okay. Now, it would be really slick and sophisticated if what you put in place on a weekly basis is it gets complemented by what you do on a daily basis. That would be really nice. That your daily routine supports your weekly objectives or your weekly focal points. That would be great. But if that's not the case, that's not the case. You start off where you are. Just make sure you can identify your weekly routine. Okay. And let me pause here. This is all the drudgery for a lot of us. Some people love schedules. Some people love routines. Some people like, you know, coordinating their life down to the nth degree. Some people can't stand it, right? For some people, it's just horrible, you know. For the people who find it, either way, if you find it horrible or great, I recommend that you plug into your daily schedule, your weekly schedule, your quarterly schedule, etc. All the incentives, all the things that you really want to do, right? You want to go to recess. You want lunch recess more than anything else. And you know that's plugged into the day. So every day you plug in a nice 2-hour lunch recess, and you get to be out on the playground and you with your little friends and you're doing your thing. Plug that into your day. Start your schedule off with that. This is my playtime. But in order for me to do that, I got to do this and that and the other on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. You know what I mean? And you create incentives for each of these time intervals. Start with the things that you want to do. Start with the things that will excite you, that thrill you. And that will make all the other parts of it, whether you love scheduling or whether you love a routine or not, you know, plug it in there. When we used to do ceremonies in the shrine, my children were little, there's a part of the ceremony where you put the effun, is, you know, you eat stuff. So at one phase of it, we eat the effun with the chalk. They love it. And they eating it. It's got salt, you know, and they love it. They end up, you know, just licking, licking, licking. There's another time where we eat the palm oil and the honey and the salt. Oh, it's sweet. They love it. They eating it, eating it, eating it. There's another part in the ritual where we're gonna drink gin. Oh, you know, they love that. They're 7 years old and I get to get a hit of the gin. Yeah. We like that part of the ritual. When they know, when he starts getting to this part of the song, we finna get a drink. So plug that into your day. And this kind of goes back to be honest about what you need to, you know what I mean, to attain excellence. You need that little light at the end of the tunnel. You need that you need that hit of gin. You gotta program that gin hit somewhere in your day so that you're excited, because you know that once I do all this other stuff, it's gonna be me and the Tanqueray. And so that's the weekly, right? And what this book, Pataki, if you don't have it, this is the driving force around what I'm describing right now as far as making a routine. Ifa really encourages a routine. Ifa really encourages us to pay attention to intervals of time and to do things in a timely fashion. Okay. And so then we have a so the 7 day calendar is here. Oh, I was what I was gonna say. So we got the 7 day calendar, but then there's also the 4 day calendar, right? The 4 day calendar, which is more geared towards people who are Ishéché devotees who have shrines. So you practice on the West African side and you have Ifa or Eshu or Batala or whatever. Our worship week is 4 days. It's every 4 days. So these are things that you where Ifa basically is explaining or revealing to us how we need to show up at these intervals and make particular kinds of offerings, make particular kinds of prayers, set certain kinds of attentions, align ourselves with certain kinds of energetic forces. Okay, that's our weekly orientation. It could be a 7 day week or it could be a 4 day week. Either way, just make sure that you've got some kind of a weekly interval that is punctuating your life and your activities. Then we've got the monthly. Okay, we got the monthly routine. And to be honest, if I back it up, it's not even monthly. We have a bi-weekly, which we know is the Itadogun, and that's what guides everything we do in the school. Every 2 weeks, every 16 days more exactly, we cast Ifa. And Ifa gives us directives, Ifa gives us do's and don'ts. If I gives us a blueprint on what we should focus on, and we learn our lessons, we apply the teachings, and we see how Ifa speaks to our condition every 16 days. Then every month, we have the option of looking at either the new moon or we can look at the full moon, right? And so every new moon is a great opportunity for us to set big plans. The new moon, we can sit down and we can say, this is what I'd like to see over the next 30 days. The full moon is a place where we can celebrate our successes. That's where you can kind of put in your incentives. Hey, I'm going to have a little celebration. I'm going to reward myself. I'm going to just, I'm going to give thanks to all of the forces. I'm going to reward my team. I'm going to celebrate my family. I'm going to celebrate the Orisha. I'm going to say thanks. I'm going to, you know what I mean? We're going to really, celebrate the fact that things are going well every full moon, for example. Okay. And we have prayers that are in Pataki to that effect as well. As it pertains to the month, what I like about the moon cycles for our prayers and our rituals is that I use the waxing moon for proactive things, moving towards accomplishment, moving towards attaining different things, reaching toward different things. And then from the full moon, as the waning moon is just starting to shrink, then we look at protection. We look at removing negativity. We look at saving ourselves from adversity. Basically, as there is more light in the world, as the moon fills in, there's more light. We celebrate the light. We move toward the light. But as the moon is shrinking and it's getting darker, we want to protect ourselves from the dark. So you can direct your daily prayers and your weekly prayers and routine according to the waxing and waning moon. Okay. Then we have our quarterly, every 3 months or so, which is about a season. There are other routines that we follow. Perhaps you get divination and make sacrifice every quarter. Perhaps you set certain plans in motion and you follow the corporate business. That's where you check in. You evaluate. You know, the routine every quarter could be evaluation. We don't want to get caught up, right? You pay in a business, you pay your taxes every quarter. That's kind of why I like the divination every quarter. You check in and you make your sacrifice. That's kind of like paying your taxes, you know, every quarter. Say, hey, this is what's got to happen. Don't wait till the end of the year. You can't wait till the end of the year as a business, as a corporation. You do that quarterly. And so you as a person have that option spiritually to look at, hey, every quarter, how am I doing? And it lets you set projections. Again, when I borrow from business and apply to spirituality, you know, people in the spiritual world, from a business perspective, look kind of scary, right? Ifa people look kind of scary. It's like you don't want to step out and say, I'm going to sell X number units in this quarter. I'm going to execute this many activities. We don't say that. We're shy about that. We kind of move stealthily. And I'm not criticizing. I'm saying that's just the way it is. Ifa is more stealthy. But on the business side, no, that ain't how you do it. When you go and you're in the different departments, the sales department tells you, they stand up and they put it on the board. In this quarter, we're going to sell X number of units, and they're going to be more than they were in the previous quarter. And the hiring department, everybody sets their numbers and they tell each other, this is what I'm going to do every quarter. And then when the quarter comes, everybody gives their reports. You guys projected that this is what you're going to do. Did you hit your numbers? We exceeded our numbers, or we were under our numbers. What happened? Right. So I like it. I think, and I encourage it. I think that you should be open about certain things, certain intentions, and put them out there in relative to time. To say that this is what I'm going to do this year. This is what I'm going to do this quarter. And if you don't make it, then that's where the value comes. You learn, why didn't I make it? How come, you know, what were the conditions that prevented me from hitting the numbers? Okay. And then you've got annual, right? And that's for us, the big deal is our Odun. Our Odun is our annual festival. Odun Orisha, Odun Ori, Odun Ifa, whatever it is. Every year we make a big deal about revisiting, rebirthing, renewing, which is actually contemporary for us for Osadi, because our featured first talks about the Odunifa, right? Oromila was celebrating his annual festival. Right, that's what the Itadogun that we're living right now is Oromila was having his annual festival, and they told Oromila that during his festival he should not delegate, he should do all the duties associated with the festival, and Oromila then didn't comply, and then he did comply, and he figured out why, and he was able to complete the ritual or the ceremony with success, and we assume that he was blessed and made more wise as a result. But that is where we are every single year. We get a new charter, we get new directives. Orisha tells us what we can expect for the year. Orisha tells us what we should do for the year, what we should not do for the year. We got, you know, instructions on what we should wear, what we should eat, what places we should go, ways we should behave, ways we should speak. All that gets spelled out for us in the new year. And every single year we do this. If you have any shrine, that's what's supposed to happen every single year, right? So Orisha lifestyle really, really, really emphasizes having and following routines, because these routines reveal to us all of the opportunity that the potential of time has for us. If it's daily, weekly, quarterly, or daily, weekly, bi-weekly, monthly, quarterly, annually. Yeah. All right, so let's pause there and get some feedback from you, the good people. What is it? What's your feeling and your natural inclination towards having a routine? Are you, on a scale of 1 to 10, do you love having a routine, or do you hate having a routine? Let's start there. Okay, let's see. Jegbe, good afternoon.
Abura Boye, Baba. Can you hear me okay?
It's really loud. There's a lot of background noise.
Okay, hold on. Let me see.
Okay, is that any better?
Yeah, that's a lot better.
Okay. Yeah, I'm in the middle of the city. So to be brief, I have been struggling with the same ritual or like organizational tool for years. That is to say that, like, you know, what you said earlier about like when you have kids, getting them on a schedule, you know, it's essential. But my house and my upbringing were more chaotic. My dad worked nights. My mom was like in school a lot. So a lot of my early years were very, very unstructured. It was very catch-as-catch-can. And, you know, there are benefits and obviously drawbacks to that. But like, I mean, for the last 3 years, I've started the same tool over and over again. It's called the bullet journal. I used to talk to Yemeshe a lot about it. She uses the bullet journal to like kind of better effect than I do. But it's I could share a link. There's like infinite YouTube videos on it, infinite articles. It was created by a guy who had ADHD. And so instead of working with a planner, you draw on your calendar, you write every page, you know, this is, so in my bullet journal now, I have a page where it's my budget. I know what I write in my monthly expenditures, I write in what I'm expected to take in. I just keep track of money on this one page. On another page, it's like, this is this project and this is the goal. Like if I'm writing something and I wanna have 20 words by the end of the week and I'm every day checking in on that page, you know, I only got 7 words, I know it's crunch time. And it's a struggle for me. It really, really, really is a struggle because I'm not a routined or ritualized person. Like it was something I was talking to Awolowo about on the day of the night before my Ishe Fa. If I'm not in the groove, it doesn't happen. like, you know, the chant class is a product of me being in the groove. I know when it happens, I know how to do it. All I got to do is this, and it produces effects. I can be very, very effective this way. But Ifa is more and more pushing me to use all the tools at my disposal to kind of fashion a new groove. Even Osadi was talking about it. Like, I was looking at the story of the hawk. You know, I feel like my disorganization is sort of a basket that I got trapped under. And I wrote down in my reflections, like, the minute that you see like a speck of light, you gotta like open your wings and be prepared to fly. You know what I mean? Because I'm not destined to be unproductive. Asad was destined to catch whatever he saw.
Here's, let me drop this one in here, because I think that there's a big opportunity. It's simplification. So there's when you have your routine is one thing, but you got clarity and focus that define what goes into the schedule. So clarity is like, for me, where I go back to, I don't have anything, but let's see, clarity for me is teaching children art. This is where I learned clarity. Say, look, everybody, I got 9 little children with me. We are making this. See this? Look, and I give it to them and they pass it around. And they look at it and they hold it and they, you know what I mean? They feel how heavy it is and they get some idea of how it's put together, blah, blah, blah. And then I give them the materials. That's the clarity. You got to be clear. What am I making? What am I doing? That's ground zero. And then after I'm clear, then you get focus.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. And that's kind of what this this tool helps me to do, because I have a page where I just brain.
Okay, let me stop you there, because what I want to do is I want to help you do the thing. Streamline everything. Get it to like say what you need to say in 10 words. You hit your mark in 5 steps, checkmate in 3 moves. When you have an object, you're cleaning up your house. Hey, I got a one touch rule. If I touch it one time, it goes where it belongs. I don't pick it up and put it over there. Mm-mm. Streamline your whole line of thinking to, this is where clarity comes in. If you're saying more than 10 words, it's too many words. If you've written more than 50 words, it's too many words. If there's more than one idea, if there's ever more than one idea in your sentence, there are too many ideas. Simplify. Start tasing yourself. Don't allow yourself to complicate your thing with lack of clarity or too many things. You can't have that many ideas. You only got one idea. Everything else is a distraction. What's your one idea? And that's going to make your daily routine much better. Again, like, we're all still third graders. We're all still farmers. We're farmers. People are farmers. We've been farmers since the beginning of time. We're all farmers. Our life is simple. You wake up in the morning, you feed the cows, you feed the chickens, you bring in the eggs, you start cooking. You know what I mean? It's like you dip, 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 dip. That's it. Simplify. Yeah. So if you have that tool or you have any other tool, it can work, but it only will work to the extent that you are totally clear about what you're doing and you only do that. You only do that. Don't do anything else. Don't think about anything else. Don't talk about anything else. Don't entertain anything else. Your daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly routine only focuses on one thing. This brings us back to the proverb, the axiom, the proverb, the sacred text, the story, the ritual, the ceremony, the festival. All of those things follow a single organizational principle. And it comes back to that really basic singular idea, which is that axiom. That axiom is what I'm making. That's what I'm trying to produce. Yeah. Yeah. So super duper simplify. And this is something that we all, especially smart people. Okay. Smart people. Like I said, you got to tase yourself. You got to tase yourself. You cannot allow yourself to go off. Like your mind will take you off. And it's like, you're not doing me no good. Tase him. Tase him. Some of y'all shouldn't tase each other. Some people don't tase yourself. Some of you should give yourself a loving embrace. Gently hold yourself and say, no, we're not doing that. I tase myself. I got to tase myself. But you may need a loving embrace to say, no, self. Oh, one idea. We're only doing one thing. Just one. I know. Just one. And that's it. Yeah. So I'm gonna push on from there, Jegbe, because I know that problem. And I think I know that problem. And simplification is the key. It's not the tool. There's all kinds of tools. Okay. Awolowo. Good afternoon, sir.
It's kind of strange for me. I despise to-do list, but it's like in me, you know. So I have the night before or that day, I have a plan for the day, and I'm gonna hit that plan. And I think my aversion to to-do list is I do have like a spontaneous side. You know, I don't think I have to tase myself just yet, but you know, I'll take a look at that and see if that might be in order. But with the to-do list, I think it's like I feel like I'm rigid. I feel like, okay, I got to do this and then this and then this, where like as I'm doing something, I might be like, oh, okay, while I'm doing this, I can actually jump to this, the fourth thing, and then come back to the second, third, fifth, sixth, you know, like do it like that. So that might be where that comes from. But the reason I say it's innate is because, as soon as when I got your book, I was already homeschooling, you know, not me personally, but we homeschool the children. So, you know, I that's how we set up the learning. So every day we learn based off of the 7-day calendar. Mm. And also, with the spontaneity thing, there was a book I read, Extreme Leadership. It's by a Navy SEAL guy. And he was talking about, he had a chapter and it's called Discipline is Freedom. So he explained that once you have a set routine, so when they would take over like an enemy's base or something, they would just ransack the place, you know, throw things all over and, you know, they're searching. So somebody came through with like a structured pattern to go through and to collect information and things of that nature. Because when they took it to, you know, like the world judges or whatever that's called, the information sometimes it wouldn't be admissible because they wouldn't be able to track how they got the evidence and things of that nature. So somebody came with like a structured pattern for them to go through a house or go through a place that they took over. Mm. And, you know, at first everybody was like, oh, we're going to get killed. You're going to get somebody shot. And, you know, but once they started doing it, they realized that what took them 2 hours then took them 45 minutes. And yes. Then even within that pattern, if they did need to branch off or be spontaneous, it was okay because they knew right where to get back in. Yes. You know, so I've been incorporating that since I used the book. So saying that to say that I do create to-do lists, yeah. And try to follow them as best as I can, but it's still something internally that I just be like, I hate this. I don't going to do it anyhow. I don't got to write it down, check it off.
Yeah. I'm the same way with paper. I was talking to somebody just the other day. It's like, man, if there's a piece of paper on it, if you put a piece of paper and it's got my name on it, I don't want it. I don't want nothing to do with it. I don't want to read no mail. I have a phobia, but I have to force myself to do it. And so it goes on to the intervals too. At this time frame, this is when you sit down and this is when you look at pieces of paper and you read whatever, whatever stupid piece of paper says, you got to read it. But I think that factors into the part where you look at, I can do those parts because I have built into the scheme this other part, right? So today I went to the woods. Like, that's part of my daily thing. If I couldn't go to the woods, it would be really hard for me to do the other parts, right? And I like the to-do. There's something else. There's somebody who wrote a book about the to-do list. But it's a proven method. Anyway, at the end of the day, it's simple. It's simple. It doesn't require a whole Gantt chart and all this other stuff. Every day you make your list and you keep knocking them out, keep knocking them out. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Awolowo. There was something else that you said that I was going to speak to, but thank you for the note there. Oh, okay. So I've heard two things. As a matter of fact, that's what I do want to say. And I forgot to mention this in the beginning around bright ideas and best practices. If you know something about this, about planning and scheduling and creating daily routines and stuff like that, share it with us, right? Share me the link and I'll make sure they go into the notes. And we also, of course, we need someone to take notes. So if you're taking notes and you want to submit the notes, share them with us so everybody has the benefit of your note-taking skills. But so far, we heard the bullet journal. Jake, tell us about the bullet journal. And then now, Awolowo will just mention this book, Extreme Leadership. So I'll be looking into both of those. But that's a logistics piece that, we should incorporate. Okay, let's keep it rocking so our time doesn't evaporate on us because it is quickly going. Ifashola, good afternoon. Tell us, what's your relationship to creating routines? You love it or you hate it?
But I literally hate it. Whatever I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Through years, I have come to love it because I see I can't live without the structure. What you just showed us, this square and the square, that's going to help me. I just made a promise to myself. I have this huge notebook.
Oh, yeah.
That I write. My husband helped me set it up. I have like my gratitude. Then I have a spiritual cultivation section, a mind and body section, a business section, a skill development section, a household section, and then a reflection section. But I was not wanting to put, I have these and I track how much time it takes me each day to do each thing, but I didn't want to put a certain time of the day to do those things. But today, after you just shared the square and the square, I'm promising myself that when I plan tomorrow's day, I'm going to say what time, like I automatically get up at 4:30. And I do that early morning routine, but then the whole rest of the day, if I want to take longer doing that, I do it. So yes. I'm thinking myself today that I'm going to start putting in from 4:30 to 5. That's my greet my Ori and feed the birds. And then I'm going to just put specific times into these bullet points that I have to help me stay better scheduled and better on track.
Yes. That is fantastic because that you made me remember what I was thinking of with what Awolowo just said, which is there's another theory of time, right? Where if we say something is going to take us 2 hours to do, it'll take us 2 hours. But if we say it'll take us 1 hour to do, we can do it in 1 hour. And when you were mentioning the thing that they go through and they just ransack the place at random, and it's like they were thinking it was going to become more cumbersome, but in reality, it streamlined the process because it's you're going in with a specific step-by-step approach. The four-hour work week. Yeah, that guy is really quite brilliant. Like, I never got to the point where he with the four-hour work week, but what he says is absolutely true. It's absolutely true. Like, you could be checking your emails all day and you could be making these phone calls all day and you're just running in circles. Let me just put this down to this time. This is when I do this. This is when I do that. And leave the rest of it for its, you know, to take care of itself.
Yeah, I think it's going to help me a lot to make that commitment. This is what I'm going to do this time and then keep going throughout the whole day. So,
excellent.
Thank you.
Yeah, we thank you. I can't wait to see how it turns out. All right, let's continue here. We've got Lady Shannon. Indianapolis, well, actually, this is just Indianapolis, but this is Houston's H-Town, Shannon.
Agboyato,
how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
It's getting better.
Good.
How are you on the plan? Are you a routine person? You love routine or you hate it?
I won't say that I love or hate them. It's kind of like an indifference. It's like it's not a part of my natural mode of being to be super routine. So what I've discovered is that I can start a routine, but I have like a window of how long it'll work. So I'll be in the groove of having a routine and I'll go strong for like 3 months. And then after that, it's like, no.
I'm doing something else now.
Basically.
Yeah.
So it's just finding a way to get in the groove and make it stick. I've gone as long as like an 8 month period on a routine and then just it still just falls away. And I'm like, you hear about it taking 21 days to form a habit or whatever. And so I'm like, yes, I formed the habit. And then
nope. No. Okay. So that is something that I have experienced also. And what I had to do was create seasons for myself. So I realized in one season, I might be more writing, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And then another season, I might be more teaching. It might be like I'm out, I'm four people and I'm really just teaching. And then in another season, I might be more creative, you know, and then in another season, I might be more not teaching, but let's say counseling. Right. And so when I recognize those different kinds of what just seemed they were like cycles, you know, what I mean, you know, how that like the day has a cycle. And when you work with the little people, they will tell you, you want to do most of your cerebral, intellectual activities, the fine motor skills and stuff like that in the morning. And then you want to start as the afternoon, you want to start doing more gross motor skills and stuff like that. Let them go outside. They don't want to read no more books. They don't want to write no more, nothing. Take them outside, let them do stuff like that. Let them play games because the day has a natural cycle and that's just the way it progresses. I think the year has that kind of a cycle too. Maybe some people are more receptive to it than others, but at different times of the year, I found that it would be almost impossible for me to write. I could sit there day after day after day after day, nothing. Another time I'm trying to be creative. I'm trying to, you know what I mean? And I just, nothing's happening. This is nothing. I don't see anything. And so you might play with it like that. You know, this is where I learned that proverb where they say, when fishermen can't go out to sea, they mend their nets. You know, so maybe try that on. There may be some real seasons that make more sense to, like, you might have like a 3 month run on this routine, and the next three is another focus.
That makes complete sense. It kind of put me in the mind of the difference between the sun and the moon. It's like they're both consistent. They both have routines, but it's very much different. The moon is different every day, but it's still a routine. The sun is, you know, up, down, up, down. So yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah. And that's phenomenal. That's when I learned that was also my Gnostic days, where they were like, yeah, the moon is going through the zodiac every day. The sun is, you know, taking a whole month, you know. And I said, ooh, okay. So depending on what your routine addresses, you might adjust. And that's where I look at, in the perfect scenario, I look at the annual routine or the annual interval, that when we cast Ifa for the year. In a perfect scenario, we get the clouds apart, we can see our life clearly, and we set in motion a plan, and then we can just, you know, break it down and follow it up every quarter, every month, every week, every day. But life isn't perfect like that, so we keep working. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Lady Shannon. Last but not least, we have our good sister Iya Efuntola Altadena's.
Yes, and let me say, Baba, my husband and I used to go to the Agnostic Center. He had a bookstore.
Yeah.
Didn't get a chance to join the spiritual group, but we were there supporting, and he had lectures.
Okay. Yeah. You remember Dr. Ligon? Dr. Ligon.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And his wife.
I met him just before his wife passed. May they both rest in eternal peace.
Yeah, me too, because we didn't move out here until 1980.
Mm-hmm. You knew Dadisi then. You meet Dadisi Soyinka?
I'm not remembering the name, but perhaps by face.
He was like Dr. Ligon's number one guy. He was like his right hand.
Perhaps by face, he may have been up there at the store, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The name is not sticking with me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell us, how are you with routines? You love it, or you hate it?
I'm in the middle, because I know that it's a necessity in my life.
Yeah.
I'm the one that's in the circle that's chasing my tail, because so many things are, you know, I have two or three things that I know that I want to accomplish each day.
Yeah.
But there's also those outside things that take my attention away, that I have to respond to.
Yeah.
Those are the things I do not like. I dread.
Yeah.
I have to, you know, respond or fill out applications and all these other requests that gets into my time.
Yes. Yes.
So I'm also trying to align myself with having a schedule of going to bed.
Yes. Crucial.
Once I hit water, something happens to me, because I like to take baths. I go on a journey, and I cannot get out the bathtub at a certain amount of time. So what I have learned that I have to do, I have done, because I have a nutritionist that I talk to, and I have spoken with her over the years about this situation.
Yeah.
You know, coming out of the bathtub. And so what I think I said, okay, let's do a timer.
Okay.
I'll put a timer. I set my timer for a half an hour, but I have to remember to bring the timer.
Okay.
But I have done it. I'm on that road. You know, I have done it, you know, like several times. I remember to bring my timer in, and it works. I would come out of, I think I'd be in some space, kind of, something takes me when I hit work.
Yeah. Well, You know, water is definitely a phenomenal spiritual conduit. And a lot of people have that experience where they inadvertently just naturally find themselves meditating in the bath or in the shower. So I'm not surprised that you're having that experience, right? You very well could be a water baby, right? You could be one of these people who belongs to the water, Ashun or Batala or Lokun. And so it's fitting that you should be making a deep connection in your element. That's your element. So I would say on one hand, you can make that your, that could be your recess time. You know what I mean? That's where you look and say, hey, this is the highlight of my day. I'm going to organize everything around. This is when I do my water ritual. Mm-hmm. And it will give you the incentive to do all the other stuff beforehand so that you can start the ritual at a time that would allow you to finish the ritual, you know, and not be there till the wee hours of the morning, right? You know, I think that's a real thing. That's a real, real thing. It works. Play it to your favor.
Okay.
And place it in your day somewhere that doesn't interfere with your ability to do other stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, getting it doesn't allow me to get up at the time I want to get up, like at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is crucial. It's very important. To get
I do it on the new moon.
Mm-hmm.
Time I do it.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps I may wake up at 5:36, but my body is not ready to hit the floor.
Yeah.
Because of my late water adventure, you know, my bad.
Yes. Try working it into a major, you know what I mean, a major feature of your day as opposed to trying to minimize it or get away from it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, lean into it and just shift it at the time of the day.
Yes, I try to, I'm saying, okay, by 9 o'clock, I should stop everything I'm doing and just take, you know, go to my water.
Right. Totally fair. And then you can see what it does for you. What insights you gain, how it renews your energy, how it replenishes you, all those kinds of things.
That's where I had my dreams.
In the water. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would keep it. I wouldn't be trying to minimize it. Just restructure it.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay. Now we have our sister Gloria Francine Cabrera.
Good afternoon, Abora Aboye.
So how are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. I'll leave it right there. It was an emotional morning thinking about my mother who has passed. So I wanted to share. I like rituals and I need them. And I learned how to negotiate it purely because of my injuries. Mm-hmm. And how to be gentle with myself and how to prayer. That's essential for health, for my health.
Yes.
Ritual prayer and thankfulness. Yeah. And also being very solution oriented.
Yes.
And actually trying to be very calm, you know, because when I get stressed out, it has a physical impact on my body.
Yes.
And, you know, but those are also to me part of, so it works into my routine, my daily routine, my spiritual practice. Mm. This year I started scheduling. And one of what I wanted on my schedule was to grow spiritually. Mm. Here I am. Look at that. And as you are talking, yeah, I have goals for each sector of my life. So I have been working on my first grant, an arts grant. Mm-hmm. And as you're talking today, this is exactly what they're asking
Oh.
for this grant. How, you know, as a culture maker, So and part of my work is very spiritual, you know. Yes. It's that my practice meets my spirituality.
Yes.
So I'm grateful to be here, and I learned new things that I didn't learn in whatever houses I was in before. So I have a lot of gratitude. Thank you so much.
We thank you, Fa. And I'm pleasantly surprised to hear that they a grantor is asking you about your routine. And I think that's a great affirmation, though. You know, that's a really great affirmation. And as you were talking, you reminded me of, oh, and you said prayer and the relationship between, you know, we have a prayer format. We have a structure where we do the invocation. Maybe you recite a verse of Ifa, or you recite an Oriki for a deity. And then you have the gratitude. So you mentioned all the different parts that are like built into our structured prayer format, right? We express gratitude with, I'm thankful for 1, 2, 3 things. And then there is the acknowledgement that I have come with an offering. I've come to you today because I know I'm talking to you. I brought you this. I'm showing up with you, to you, with these things in hand to offer you. It's not a bribe. It's me acknowledging that I know who you are. I know your value. I know that I'm coming to show you and pay tribute to you with things that I know that compliment you and that please you. And then there is what I'm aspiring to, is my supplication. I need this. I want that. I have this problem. And then there's the agreement that says, you bless me this way. If you comply with my request, I promise that I'll use the blessing in a certain way. These are my intentions. And I agree to use your strength, your wisdom, your power in this way. Okay. And so like that is the prayer format, and we reinforce that in a bigger way with our routine. In the same way that, you know, when we follow that prayer format, it helps us, again, it helps us get clear. Like, I know that if I'm approaching Oshun, I'm saying specific things to her that I don't say to Shango, or that I don't say to Oya. When I'm offering things to Oshun, I'm offering things to her that I wouldn't offer to Oya or to Shango. The kind of support I'm asking her for, I'm asking her for something that I wouldn't go to Shango for. I wouldn't go to Oya for that, right? So it helps me get clear. When I really go through that format, it helps me get very, very clear about who I'm really engaging with and what the dynamic is going to be between us. But it's really best for me. It helps me, you know, and then it helps me get clear about, okay, I'm entering into an agreement. Oshun says she's going to help me. I told her that this is what I was going to do. I'm accountable now. I don't want to withdraw, you know what I mean? I don't want to. So that's the prayer format. But then my weekly routine, my quarterly routine, etc., all of those routines have the same effect. They help me get clear about where I am, what I'm doing, who I'm working with, what I need to bring to the table in this day, this week, this quarter, how I need to show up, what kind of agreements I need to be making, what I'm going to be held accountable for. Right. All of that gets reinforced again and again and again and again and again and again. And we get stronger. We get more aligned. We make a more solid connection to our mission, to our vision, to the people that we serve, when we're able to adopt and adhere to a routine. And so I want to say also in closing, I am not a routine planning organizer. That's not my forte. And sometimes, a lot of times people say, you're so organized. And I love it. It's the best compliment. It's the best compliment, because by nature, I'm not. And that's the honest to God truth. I am not naturally organized. I would prefer not to be organized. I probably lean more on the side of an artist as far as what my lifestyle is, what my preferred lifestyle is. I would prefer to be totally spontaneous, you know, just going on the stimulus of the day. But I realize early, or at a certain point, relatively early, that's not productive though. That's not productive. I'm not going to get anything done. I'll be here spinning my wheels forever and ever, and I'm not making any progress. So it's the outcomes of having a routine that made me feel like, oh, this is super important. This is essential. And then getting those outcomes and then applying them to my spiritual life allow me to actually see, oh, you know, for example, EFI is all about this. This is the secret sauce, man. You can be, again, going back to my years as a drummer, they would say this to you as a drummer all the time. You could, hard work will outdo talent every time. This guy right here, he's got talent, but he doesn't know the orto seco. He's got the timing, he's got the touch, blah, 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 but he doesn't know. I make a change, I call this. This guy he can't respond. He doesn't know it, you know, because he's not working. Whereas this guy just got here, he's never touched a drum in his life. 3 months later, he knows the calls better than this other person who is clearly more talented, right? And so that for me is, it's a good template for, you know, we're all born with a spiritual potential. We all have a spiritual mission to carry out. And even though we're not competing with one another, we're sharing the space with one another, and we can look at each other's experience to see, oh, I could optimize my experience better. You know, I could optimize my experience better. I could, me having this talent, me having this ability, having this potential is great, but it require, in order for me to really get the most out of it, it requires that I focus, and it requires that I force myself to do things that I don't want to do. It's a certain, on a real certain level, like, you can't get away from it. Certain things that I just got to do, like brush my teeth. When I was a little kid, I didn't want to brush my teeth. One of my favorite stories was taking a bath. You know, my mother had me take a bath, and I hated taking a bath. I hated it. So the greatest episode of my little seven-year-old life was taking a bath, and my mother walked in and caught me, and I fainted. Bang. I said, man, that's excessive, bro. You can't, you take a bath. Just take a bath. It's not bad for you. Nothing, no harm is going to come to you from taking the bath. And so the routine is like that too. We can do the routine. Do a daily routine, but keep it fun though. Have a weekly routine. Keep it fun. Whatever the highlight of your day is, whatever you love to do, wherever your excitement and your inspiration is, wherever you're going to charge your battery, you make sure you plug that into your daily routine first. Plug that into your weekly, bi-weekly, monthly, quarterly, annual routine. Put that in first. Your super duper thrill is going to be there. That's center stage, right? So like today, when I got dressed, I decided I was going to wear my gold shirt, right? That's first. That's what you put on first. That's the centerpiece. Then you're going to complement that with whatever else. I had on a burgundy hat because I got on burgundy pants. I was going to be combinating. It didn't work, though. It wasn't as good as the green with the. So I switched it up, and then this is a good little. I like it. I like it. You feel, right? That's your routine. Your whole day is an ensemble. You start off your day. This is what I want to do today. This is the highlight of my day. This is what's going to make me look and feel good. But all these other parts have to be accounted for. I've got to do everything else that leads up to this and follows up with that. But punctuate it with, or anchor it, I should say, really you want to anchor it with the thing that energizes you. You want to anchor it with the thing that lights you up. You want to anchor your day, your week, your month with that thing that makes you expansive. At the very best, it makes you expansive. And then your routine will not be so bad, you know. And this is for the folks who kind of hate it, like me. I really am not into it. It's not my thing. But it can work for you. And it will work for you. This is the last thing I want to say. You ain't going to make it otherwise. Don't let anybody tell you that you're going to be able to freestyle your way into greatness. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You need structure. You need order. It is obligatory. Anybody who tells you otherwise is deceiving you. They're jerking your chain. They're sending you on a mission that will never be completed. I want you to be successful. You need a routine. It's just the way it is. All of life works on a routine. Everything has its own intervals and cycles. So do you. Just find out what it is. It's not a one size fits all, but you definitely have a routine. Find your routine. And anything that you're telling yourself that says that you don't need a routine, tase yourself. That's not true. I need a routine. Whatever you're telling yourself that says that the routine is only kind of, tase yourself again. This routine is going to transform my life. That's why every Odisha has a routine. That's why every Odisha has a day of the week, every single one. And if you look at all of their crafts, there's a natural routine. If you're a weaver, there's a natural cycle. If you work with clay, there's a natural cycle. If you work with iron, there's a natural cycle. Right? If you're a farmer, there's a natural cycle. So that's just inevitable. You have a natural cycle. There is a principle of life that brought you to the world, and that principle unfolds in a predictable, regular interval. Decipher what that is, accept it, lean into it, master it, and let it help you show up in the way that you really and truly want to show up. It's in your best interest. So that's our conversation for today. Thank you so much for your time, your effort, your brilliance, and your contribution. I truly appreciate it. And I pray that what we have discussed today will be beneficial to you in helping you to take advantage of the blessings and the bounty that the Orisha and the ancestors have for you. So like I said, I'm assuming that we're doing the work. We're making our prayers. We're making our offerings. We're keeping our observances. So I know Obatalas are going to bless you. I know that Shango is going to bless you. I know Olodumare is going to make your prayers manifest. And when they do manifest, you want to be in a position to say, I'm responsible with this. I took your blessings and I applied them in the way that they should be. Yeah. Next week, we're going to look at training and technology. Our conversation next week is going to be on how important it is for you to really invest in your improvement. Why you really need to also formalize, you know, your approach. The other day, I signed up for a class. So I signed up for a class last month on ego and archetype. Great class. This week or this month, I signed up for another class. This is a class on the Jungian archetypes and tarot cards. Ooh, that's juicy. I can't wait to get into that one. But it's just that I'm so busy right now. I just haven't gotten a chance to get past the intro. But that's what we're going to talk about next week. You got to keep sharpening your saw. You've got to keep expanding your understanding of things and allow yourself to be taught, right? And it costs money, okay? It costs money. That's gonna be half of the conversation. You gotta spend money for your improvement, your equipment, your tools, your training, your technology. You just gotta pay for it. That doesn't mean you gotta go into debt for it, but it means you do have to be willing to constantly invest in yourself. Also obligatory. Okay, so that's our chat next week. Until then, may the divinities continue to bless you and your loved ones in ways that only they can. Ashe. I'll talk to everybody in 7 days, everybody. Odabo.
Odabo.